long time ago, I used to not like the word. When people in church talked about blessing, I didn't like the word blessing. To me, it seemed a religious word. It seemed a word that kind of didn't mean anything particular. Maybe a vague word, a weak word even. So I didn't like, I always thought, oh, I don't like that. When people talk about blessing, what do they mean? But actually, over the years, the more I've seen what the Bible tells us about blessing, particularly God's blessing, the more I've come to understand that actually blessing is a wonderful thing. Blessing is a fantastic thing. In fact, blessing describes the good things that God has to give to you. Blessing describes the wonderful, amazing, fantastic, beautiful things that God has to pour into your life. I've realized how much I need God's blessing, how much every day I need what he has from heaven to be poured into my life. There's this patriarch in the Old Testament, Jacob, and this guy so wanted God's blessing. We read an interesting story in Genesis where it says he wrestled with an angel of God. He was wrestling with God, and he said this in Genesis 32:26. Jacob said to God, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." He was desperate. Jacob knew that he needed God's blessing. And he was so desperate that he said to this angel of God that he was wrestling with, he said, "I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to hang on and hang on and hang on." And in the end, his hip was dislocated. He was hanging on so tightly and he limped for the rest of his life. But he did get what he looked for. He was looking for God's blessing and he got amazingly God's blessing upon his life. Not that God is reluctant to give us his blessing by any means, but the Bible is very clear. Every good thing, think in your life, every single good thing that you have received, whether it's been through the agency of people or from God directly, every single thing is actually really a blessing from God. James reminds us this in James 1:17. He says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above." Everything that comes is actually from above, coming down from the Father, coming down from our Heavenly Father. Every blessing. Who here today doesn't want blessing? Of course we do. Of course we want God's blessing. And this morning I want to look at a small phrase from the teaching of Jesus about receiving blessing. This morning we're going to look at a small phrase that's been on my mind for a long time. And this phrase is about Jesus teaching about how to receive blessing in our lives. Jesus taught many things about how to receive God's blessing. This is just one of them. One of the keys, one of the ways of receiving God's blessing in your life. It's come from Acts 20, verse 35, and it's a quote from Jesus. And Jesus said this, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." It's more blessed. There is more blessing. Jesus said, if you want blessing, fantastic. There is actually more blessing to be got, to be gained by giving than receiving. Now, don't get me wrong, because it's fantastic blessing to receive a present, to receive money, to receive a gift, to receive anything. It's a wonderful blessing. I love when I get a present. I love it to get something good. Of course I do. We're encouraged, we're happy. It's fantastic, we're blessed. But actually, according to the teaching of Jesus, there is more blessing in doing the giving than doing the receiving. There's a more blessing to be had. And so today I want to talk practically about what Jesus meant. This morning I'm reluctant to talk about money because it's a very personal subject. In fact, I can't remember I've ever talked about money in the church in all my years. Partly because it's a very personal thing, and it's not something that it's not something to kind of talk often about. In fact, when I asked my neighbour whether he would come to church, whether he'd like to come to church, my neighbour said to me, "I don't want to come to church because you preachers are just after the money." so that was his reason for not coming to church. And we've all seen preachers, unfortunately, even preachers on Christian TV, that sometimes manipulate viewers to get money out of them. It's very sad. And at New Life, we don't talk about money. Not that money's not important. Of course, money's important. But as a church, we're not after your money. We're not going to take another offering. Relax. We don't talk about money on Sundays. But as we read the Bible, actually, Jesus talked a lot about money. One third of all the parables he told were about money. In fact, if you look at the book of Luke, one in every seven verses of his teaching is about money. And Jesus talked about money more than anything else apart from the kingdom of God. Jesus talked a lot about money. Money is important because it's got the potential to bless your life or to curse your life, one or the other. So I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about money because I want you to be blessed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are the Father above who gives us every good thing. Every good thing comes from you. And thank you that you're the God that wants to bless us, to fill our lives with good things. And we are, as your people here, would you give us hearts to learn? Would you give me a heart to listen and hear and be taught? Help us this morning, Jesus, to hear what you're saying, that, Lord, we could be encouraged, that we could be built up, that you could show us your path of blessing. Amen. A few years ago, I was sat in the bankruptcy courts here in central London. If you go down to central London, down Holborn, there are huge courts of justice. And I was sat in the bankruptcy courts with another Christian who I was there to help encourage that day. They were being declared bankrupt. And so I went with them just to support them, to encourage them, because it was a very difficult process. It's a very humiliating process to be declared bankrupt. The court basically said, you've made a mess of your money, and therefore we're going to take responsibility for money away from you. Your debts are wiped off. So this person had tens of thousands of pounds of credit cards, store cards, bank loans wiped out in a second, but at a great cost because the court imposed restrictions on what they could own, on how much money they could have and what they could do with their money. It was a very humiliating thing. And this lovely Christian had no choice but to subject themselves to the court because they hadn't understood about blessings and curses of money. They were foolish with their money. They'd spent money they didn't have. They'd run up loans and credit card bills that got out of control. Tens of thousands. Money was a curse to them. You know what struck me that day as I was in that court was the importance of me, of us as Christians, understanding how to handle this stuff called money. When the teenagers in this church get to about 17... I like to spend a session with them. I like to take them out on a Sunday morning, sit down, maybe take them to Costa, buy them all a frappuccino, whatever they want. Sit down, talk to them, and talk to them about money, honestly about money. Because at that age, it's unlikely they've got tens of thousands of pounds of credit card bills. But what it is, it's an opportunity to say, these are the good things and these are the bad things about money. And so we talk, I'm trying to be honest with them. And I start with a phrase from the Bible, money is the root of all evil. I say, whereabouts in the Bible does it say that? Now, they've heard of it, and it's unfair, it's very naughty of me actually to say that, because actually it's not a phrase in the Bible, it's a partial quote, because money is not the root of all evil. Actually, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And so it's been a bit naughty of me to ask them, but it gets them thinking, because in 1 Timothy 6:10, we see here, Paul's teaching Timothy, it's the love. The problem is not money itself. Money is neutral. It can be used for good or evil. It's my attitude towards money that is important. So in the sessions with the teens, what I do is I get out my wallet and I give them for my own money to keep a pound coin. And I say, this is for you to keep. And I want you can do what you like with it. It's yours. It's a gift. So I hope there's not too many teenagers present that day. Otherwise, no, I'm joking. So I give them each a pound and I say to them, you can either save this or you can give it or you can spend it. But if you spend it, you can only spend it once. Once you spend your pound, it's gone. If you choose to buy one thing, that means you're making a choice not to buy other things. And I impress on them, I say, go home, tape this pound coin to your door or above your bed or something. And just use it as a way of remembering the money that you get, the money that you give them, whether it's pocket money, whether it's earned money, whatever the money you've got, you can only spend it once. You can choose to save it, you can choose to give it, or you can choose to spend it. But if you spend it, you only spend it once. I talk to them about credit cards, debit cards, budgeting, giving and saving. I try to lay a foundation to help them as they start in their adult life because money can be a blessing or a curse to those young people and to each of us. But you know what? I'm more convinced than ever of the teaching of Jesus when he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why am I convinced? Two reasons. First reason is this, because as I give, as I choose to give, it changes me. So I've got some money here. As I give it, something happens in my heart, something happens in me, and I change, my attitude change. I'm blessed on the inside if I give. It's got to be a good thing. A few years ago, I gave away £2 million. A few years ago, it was a great blessing to the people that received the £2 million. In fact, they were very thrilled. They were thrilled to receive the money. And to give away £2 million is actually very easy. I didn't get any flutters in my stomach. I wasn't agonizing over whether I should give it or whether maybe I shouldn't. In fact, the whole process was actually rather not very emotional at all. And the big reason why it was easy to give away £2 million was it wasn't my money. It was someone else's money. Through a very unlikely series of events, I sold a property that became a recording studio in Hampstead. I sold a house in Hampstead, and both these properties belonged to a Christian charity. So I sold them. The money went to the charity. I didn't personally get the money. The charity got the money. The charity was then wound up. So me and four other trustees, we had the job of getting rid of £2 million that was generated from the sale of these properties. It's nothing to do with New Life. As a church, we didn't benefit. And of course, I personally, as a trustee, didn't benefit. How do you give away £2 million? Well, first thing you do is you pray. And then we look for missions and churches and missionaries and Christian organizations that would benefit from the money. We wrote the checks and gave the money away. And receiving was a great blessing. They all said thank you very much. Before you ask, there's nothing left. The charity is now closed down. I do not have anything. It was easy to give £2 million. It would have been very different if it was my own money. It would have been much harder. Do you know what that reveals something about my heart that's universal? It's that money has a powerful influence on our heart. And Jesus said, you either love God or you love money, but you cannot love them both. Impossible. You know, when I became a Christian many years ago, one of the first things the Holy Spirit showed me was my heart was materialistic, that I had my heart set on things. I was looking for the new camera, the new computer, the new whatever. There was something very materialistic. And as an unbeliever, I'd set my heart on the things that money could buy. And I've been on a journey over these past years with the Holy Spirit as he's taught me how God wants me to handle my money. God's not finished with me yet. But there's a process happening that God's changing my heart. Do you know, the most important thing I've learned about this money is this. Is as I've been obedient to God, as I've given, God has changed my heart. As I've obeyed God and given some of my money, not some of other people's money, as I've given some of my money, my heart has changed. As I've given, as God prompted me to, I have changed on the inside. A number of years ago, I saved up to buy a car. I was working and able to save up some money. So I saved up an amount of money to buy a car. When I'd saved that amount, I thought, that's it. I've got to the target figure, got the amount of money. As soon as I save it, God spoke to me and says, don't buy a car, give it all away. And to be honest, that was hard. That was hard because I'd worked hard. I'd worked long and hard. And I'd saved long and hard. But God told me very clearly and very specifically to do that. Do you know what happened? As I got my checkbook out, as I wrote that check to give the money away to God's work, as I wrote it, as the pen touched the paper, I'm being honest with you, I felt my heart change. As I obeyed God, as I did what God told me to do, and I wrote the amount of money on the check, and I wrote the check to the church, and as I did it, something in my heart changed, and I felt something soften. I felt it was as though something supernaturally had changed inside me, something softened. And the first reason I want to say that giving is a blessing is that it changes the giver. As I give, something happens in me, something softens inside me. Something of God's own nature is formed in my heart as I give. You know, that lovely verse we all know in John 3:16, one of the most popular verses in the whole Bible. The most popular verse in the whole Bible. It said, God loved so much that he gave. So an expression of God's love is that he gave. That was an overflow. That's how God's love is expressed. And that's why God has called us as believers to be givers. God's called us to give to God, to give to Christian missionaries, to give to the poor, to give to other Christians. God's called us to be givers because as we give, we're echoing something of the heart of God. God loves so much that the overflow as that was he gave. And he gave far more precious than money. Of course, he gave his one and only son. Far, far more precious. But for us, for you and I, an overflow of what God is doing in my heart, of what God's doing in us, of God's work of changing my heart, is that God changes me that I would be like him and that I would become more and more of a giver. Secondly, giving is good because as I give, it makes room in my life to receive more back from God. Jesus said an amazing thing in Luke 6:38. He says this, if you give, you will receive. That's kind of God's economy here. If you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. An incredible, incredible thing that Jesus said here, that there's something about giving that as I give, it means there's a lack in my life, there's an emptiness in my life, that God can then give me back not just what I've given, but more, pressed down, shaken together, running over, filling my life. It's a spiritual principle. It's one of the spiritual principles that runs from Genesis right through to Revelation. It's a principle from the beginning to the end of sowing and reaping. I sow, I give, and then I reap, I get back. And the principle of sowing and reaping is you sow a few seeds in the ground, and then at harvest time you reap a massive result, a massive amount of seeds back. That's God's economy. If I hang on to what I have, spending it on myself, I miss out the dynamic Jesus described. But as I give, it makes room for God to add back and replace. A very important part for each of us as believers is handling our money, is this thing of giving. A few years ago, I was prompted one Sunday morning. I just felt the Holy Spirit prompted me to give £20 to another Christian in the church. So I did. I felt that's what God prompted me to do. So I did. I gave them £20. Then the same day, someone else who knew nothing of that came up to me and gave me about £40. Jesus said, if you give, he'll give back to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Of course, it's not always in the same day. But I'm so convinced of this principle that I decided to teach my boys from the moment they got their own money. So when my sons, Barbara and our sons, were about 8 years old, we decided to give them pocket money. I was a very generous dad, and we decided 50 pence was 50 pence was a good way to start. But what I did is I didn't give them a 50 pence piece. I said, here's your pocket money. I gave them a 20 pence, a 20 pence, and 2 5-pences. And I said, look, here's your pocket money. But Jesus says, if we give, God will give back to us. And it's what God asks us to do. So I want you to take your 5 pence. So of the 50 pence, take 5 pence. On Sunday morning, come to the front and put the 5 pence in the bucket. Now, obviously, I could have just given my money on top of their pocket money. I could have on a Sunday morning just in my pocket got some money and said, here's some money, go and put it in the bucket. But I wanted them to give their money because their 50 pence was for them to buy sweets or toys or whatever children do with their pocket money, or to save and do something. But for them to not spend 5 pence on themselves, but actually to put that took faith. Even at 8 years old, even at a very young age, it takes faith. Actually, I didn't give them any choice. I just said, this is what we're going to do. Let's go and do it. But that's part of a heart of a parent is we need to teach that this is God's pattern and this is God's way for us. And so that's what we did. So I gave them 5 pence and taught them from the very time they had their own money that actually there's less to spend on themselves, but that giving is part of what it means to follow God. We receive, they've received from me, from my hand, but actually from Barbara's hand, but actually it's ultimately from God. And so to give back to God. And I believe it's the best thing I could have done for their money management. See, the Apostle Paul teaching the Christians in Corinth, he talks about their money and he says this in 2 Corinthians 9. I say this to you, and he's talking about money. He says, whoever gives or sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully or generously will also reap generously. He was trying to teach the church in Corinth, look guys, it's good to be generous in your giving. Because if you are, then God will reap back, you will get back. I knew that from that day when my children were young, that they were going to be blessed financially because they needed to learn that thing. One of the most popular promises in the Bible about finances is this. In Philippians 4:19, you hear it a lot, and this is the promise. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful promise. It's a wonderful promise. It's a promise that God's given to meet our needs. We all have needs. Everyone in here faces bills and needs and financial challenges. We all do, of course we do. And this is a wonderful promise to the church in Philippi. My God will meet all your needs. But Paul, in the verses before this and after this, the context of this, he said, it's because you Philippians have been so generous. Because you have given. What happened in Philippi was that they didn't have much, but they gave something of what they had to help the churches in other parts that were struggling. And so they gave. They gave first to God. They sacrificed. They gave something. And so Paul's encouragement to them, Paul's promise to them, was in the context that they were giving. And that's the context that God has for us, that as I give, God will put back into my life and your life. Now, I know that it's hard to give if you haven't got very much. But even if I give a little, there's blessing in giving a little. Look at this passage in Mark 12 and 42. Jesus brought his disciples' attention to a very poor woman, an incredibly poor woman, who was putting a tiny amount in the offering. I've just dropped it on the floor, actually, but here it is. This is one of the coins. It's actually a facsimile. It's not an original one. Oh, is it worth a lot of money? But this is one of the coins that she would. It's the tiniest, tiniest. We don't have a coin in our currency that's as small as this. It's a tiny, tiny one. And Jesus said, this poor widow came and she put two very small copper coins that were worth just a few pence into the offering there in the temple. And Jesus called his disciples and said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live in. She gave to God what she had. It's the smallest of coins. Of course God noticed her. Of course God blessed her. Many years ago, I didn't have any money and I didn't have any food. So my larder was empty and I had no money. I had a few coins in my pocket, not enough to buy anything, really. And as I walked to the shop, I found a little bit on the floor that just meant I had enough to be able to buy one roll of bread. And I was very grateful. I was very grateful. My testimony is, after years and years and years and years of being a Christian, God has been faithful. God has been faithful to me. And I know that you, if you've been giving yourself, you know your testimony is that God is a faithful God. God is a faithful God and that he will meet our needs. That's him. If you're new to giving, if what I'm saying this morning is new, then it's a wonderful adventure of blessing in giving to God, giving to Christian missionaries, giving to the poor, giving to other Christians. It's a wonderful adventure of blessing. Just to finish this morning, I want to say, if you're struggling, if what I said this morning touches a chord in your heart and you're struggling with money, there's a fantastic Christian organization here in Camden. It's called CAP, Christians Against Poverty. And the local branch is based at Chalk Farm Baptist Church, run by lovely Christians that we know. And it's an anonymous service. You can just phone up and make an appointment. And they're really helpful in equipping you if you've got debt or there's money issues or you're having trouble managing your budget. It's worthwhile. You can just type it into the internet and find out the Chalk Farm branch. So we're making an appointment to go and get some help. Please don't struggle on your own. Please don't get to the state that my lovely friend that we went to the bankruptcy court together, don't get to that state. If you're struggling, get some help And this organization is a fantastic one in helping. If the debts are piling up and the money's not coming in, then please, please, please get some help. This morning I want to inspire you though. I want to inspire each of us for God's blessing on your finances. Giving is portrayed in the Bible not as a blessing or a negative thing. Paul tells the Christians in Corinth to give with a positive attitude. Our final verse is 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says this. Each of you must give. He talks about must do, and it's in the context of giving. The passage is about giving. Each of you must give just what he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly. Not, oh no, I don't want to have to, I suppose I better, but I don't want to. Don't do it like that, not with that attitude or under compulsion. I've got to. Someone says, I've got to. Not at all. For God loves a cheerful giver. The word that Paul uses here, the Greek word that he uses for cheerful, is the word hilarion, which we get hilarious from. God loves a hilarious giver. There's something about giving that is supposed to be light. It's supposed to be a blessing. It's supposed to be a privilege. So this morning I want to inspire you. I want to say if you haven't started on this journey, it's faith. It's faith. Even the widow here that just gave the tiniest, tiniest amount, Jesus said she gave more. She gave more. It's not about the amount. It's about our hearts and it's about giving as God prompts us and God helps us. It's an exciting journey. It's a very exciting journey. I'm in this process. I'm sure many of you, I know many of you here are in the process of learning what it means to be a hilarious giver. As we give, God gives back to us. I want to really encourage you today. It's not something heavy. It's not something to our hearts to think this is really a heavy thing. Not at all. This is a wonderful privilege that because God loves so much, he gave. And because God's put his love in my heart, I can give. Let's just all stand. Let's all stand together. Just stand as God's people here in his presence. Jesus, thank you. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here who's struggling with money. I want to ask, Lord, for your help, your mercy, your grace, your goodness. Lord, would you come today and help, Lord? You're the God who has abundant riches. And we pray for your amazing provision. I pray for every bill that's outstanding in this room. Lord, would you provide? Would you, the God of great blessing, the God who blesses us from above with many good things, would you provide and meet every single financial need that's here in this room today? Lord, we look to you as the one who provides. And I want to thank you for every person that gives so generously here to the church, work of the church, to missionaries, to the poor, to others. Thank you so much, Lord. And I pray your rich blessing. I want to pray for everyone that as we've given, Lord, would you give back? Pressed down, shaken together and running over. And Lord, as we've given, could we receive this give, this more blessing? That you said it's more blessed to give than receive. Lord, could we receive this more blessing from you today? And today, I just pray over everyone's life and their financial needs and situation. And I pray, Lord, would you open the floodgates of heaven? Would you open, Lord, the windows of heaven and pour out all that's needed in every situation? And Lord, would you help us on this journey of what it means to give and to be generous? Help us, help me, help us, Lord, to follow you, to listen to you. Lord, to act in faith. Not grudgingly, not under compulsion, but act in faith as you touch our hearts. Lord, would you do something wonderful, wonderful in us? Thank you so much. Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Thank you. I know this is from God because I had this picture before Paul spoke about blessing. I didn't know he was going to speak on blessing. So this is for some certain people this morning. I don't know who you are. Yesterday, I took Bob on a little jaunt as a late birthday treat, and we went to a gallery called the Sackler Gallery in Kensington. It's in Hyde Park, And the reason we went there is because a very famous architect has designed part of the building, actually the cafe, in this Saclay Gallery. And it's a beautiful place. It's designed by Zaha Hadid, who's a very famous architect who sadly died recently. But the thing about this cafe, which was stunning when we walked in, was the light wells. And these light wells are really unusual. They come down shafts that are like sloping. So they're this kind of strange, it's all very organic. There's these strange sloping walls, like almost like tubes coming down. And above them is a window in the roof. And I saw it this morning. I saw these windows and these slopy tubes, because if you sit on the table at the bottom of these kind of slopy tubes, you sit in light that's coming directly down from the sky, but isn't coming in a way you'd expect. And I felt the Lord was saying this morning that he wants to pour his blessing down on certain people. He wants to bring his blessing like this light coming down. And I don't know if it's financial or whatever it is, but I just felt, so I asked the Lord, I said, well, what do people have to do? You know, do they have to sit in a certain table to get this light, which is what you have to do in the restaurant? And I just felt he said, turn your heart and your face to heaven, and he will pour out this blessing.
Let's lift our hearts to heaven. Let's worship, love Jesus, draw close to him, and let's receive what Vicky's been encouraging us. Let's receive from heaven. So it's great for us to be together here this morning. So I wonder if you'd stand with me first of all. Let's stand in God's presence. Let's welcome him amongst us. And it's really looking forward to today and what God's got for us. God's called us together here individually to come together to know him, to experience him, to hear from him. And so this morning, let's pray. Let's invite God's Holy Spirit to come amongst us. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you that this is the day that you've made. It's a day you've made for us to enjoy. It's a day you've made for us to celebrate and enjoy you. And we want to invite you right at the beginning of our time together here this morning. We invite you by your Holy Spirit. Would you come and speak in this place? Would you come and work in this place? Would you come and speak to our hearts and lives? Lord Jesus, we welcome you, that you would walk amongst your church today. We ask, would you come and fill this place with your goodness, with your presence, with your love? Jesus, we're here today for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. 3, where it says, new every morning, new every single morning are your mercies, O Lord. Every single morning, his loving kindness, his mercies, his goodness, his equipping, his grace for that day is new every day. And this morning, as we stand before God, his grace, his kindness, his goodness is fresh. Absolutely fresh today for each one of us. Just what we need for this day, that he would empower us, equip us, strengthen us, use us, work in us and through us this day. Lord, we receive what you have for us this day. Lord, thank you so much. It's lovely to be together. We're very thankful we weren't under canvas last night. I know that those 75 dear souls that have gone camping, we bless them for their sacrifice on that hard floor. But know they're having a fantastic time. If you're picking up children this afternoon, if your children have gone away on the camp on Carrotty Wood, it's 5:15 outside the place where you drop them to go this on Friday. So 5:15 today, please come and pick your children. Otherwise, I'll be left with them. So please have mercy on me and come and much how lovely your children are. Another time for a sleepover, okay? Next week is a very special weekend. We got a her inheritance Saturday. Esther, come give Esther a big warm round of applause. Tell us about her inheritance.
Hi, church. Yeah, so we have our second her inheritance event coming up next weekend. I would really love for all the ladies to be there. So it's 6 to 8 p.m. and it's going to be at the same venue as the ladies' breakfast, so Kentish Town Evangelical Church. The details would be at the back on the table if you want to pick up a copy. But yeah, can everyone like try and bring a friend? So we're really hoping for a breakthrough, and really want people who are like unbelievers or Christians struggling with their faith to come, because we have like amazing volunteers from the church who are going to be on the panel answering questions, and the questions are going to be applicable to a range of people. So yeah, if you can come and bring a friend, that would be lovely. We also have canapés and mocktails as well, and it's promising to be a really fun evening. So yeah, don't miss out, and yeah, try and attend. Thanks.
Well done. Thank you. Fantastic. That's Saturday. That's this Saturday coming at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. It's not far. Kentish Town Evangelical Church is just off Queen's Crescent, and on the little leaflets there's the postcode, which you can find. In fact, the details are on your information sheet as well, so it's easy to find, and there's parking around there at that time. Next weekend, also on the Sunday, we've got a special, we're having a celebration. The children are going to be back, the young people are going to be back. So we have a celebration here of the Carroty Wood Camp. The children are going to be sharing, going to be doing the speaking too. And also, we're going to be sharing lunch together afterwards. So please, if you could bring some food, that would be fantastic. Either a main course or a dessert, bring some food along that we can share, that we can enjoy having fellowship, enjoy having food next Sunday here on the 2nd. Also, there'll be some guys coming to film us. We're making a new, very short promo video for the website. And the guy, the filmmaker, has been working for Alpha at HTB. And so there's a lot of experience, Christian filmmaker. And it's going to be just good. So if you see someone wandering around with a camera, don't be alarmed. We're going to see it with the finished product first before it goes public, as it were. So if you think it maybe didn't catch your particular best side, then maybe we could edit that bit out. So that's going to be next Sunday. That's the 2nd of July. The week after that, the 9th of July, we've got the children are going to have their prize giving. They're going to go out on a trip out that day. It's going to be a fantastic weekend then as well. That's the 9th. And then on Friday the 14th, we've got some baptisms. Friday the 14th at Chalk Farm, we're using their church to do some baptisms. So if you haven't been baptized, like to be baptized, if you could say it's Friday the 14th at Chalk Farm Baptist in the evening. Thanks very much for being so patient. The children, if there are any left, I think there aren't many, no, they've all gone. if there are any children, then there's a creche for them if they'd like to make a move.